You're listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Band of Christian Brothers with David Gilbert.
Band of Christian Brothers.
Men, it's time to step up. It is in Christ we draw our strength. We are called to do battle with the flesh, the world, and the devil. What are you doing to protect your soul and the souls of your loved ones? Are you walking in the footsteps of Christ? All right, and welcome to the Band of Christian Brothers program. I am your host, David Gilbert. Now, before we begin, I should introduce myself. I'm a cradle Catholic, you know, never really knew my faith until I was challenged in university, and I never really lived it until I met my wife, and I knew I had to change because she deserved a better man than I was. I'm married to my lovely wife, Teresa, for almost 9 years now, and I have three lovely children and, God willing, many more. I'm the founder of Servium Ministries, which is a lay apostolate that seeks to bring people into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ and His church through online faith formation and outreach, developing programs, and hosting events. I'm also the founder of Band of Christian Brothers Men's Fraternity, which is a brotherhood of men that seek to embolden men to grow in faith and virtue. Ultimately, brothers helping brothers to be the man that God is calling them to be. So, and I'm here with my co-host, Josh Chesney.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. So, I mean, our wives knew each other before we knew each other. How long have we known each other now? It's been a long time.
It feels like a long time, yeah. Yes. I mean, they were friends in university and roommates, and then you came along, and then I married that girl, and you married that girl, and then we became friends because of that. I don't think we're actually friends on our own merit at all. I think it's totally our wives.
That's right. Our holy wives. Anyways, Josh, tell us a little bit about you, man.
Sure, I guess. I'm a convert to the Catholic faith. I did that about 9 years ago, almost 10 years now. And it was just one of those things that, well, my wife being Catholic, I kind of sat there and went, no, we're not doing this. I go to my church on Sunday and she takes the kids and goes to her church on Sunday. No, we're going to do one thing. So I looked into this thing we call the Catholic faith and went, ooh, I like this. I like this. This rich tradition, these teach, like there's, you can mine forever and come up with gold all day long. So that's, you know, kind of what's brought me to basically our friendship and me being a part of your show. I'm also a broadcaster by trade. I went to school in North Bay and learned all about radio. And so whenever Dave asked me questions about microphones and this and that, I go, oh, I have an answer. I have a product for you. You're going to go with a different one because, well, budgets are budgets.
Exactly. And instead of, you know, keep calling you or whatever, I just figured, well, I might as well make you a co-host.
Exactly. That way I'm already here. And Josh, it's not working. Why isn't it working? I also have three kids, two little girls and a little boy, and yeah, life is busy.
But life is good.
Oh, life is so good.
All right, well, let's introduce this this program. So Band of Christian Brothers, the purpose of this program is it's meant to embolden men to grow in faith and virtue, while also addressing the unique spiritual and fraternal needs of men and the challenges we face in life and our faith. Because let's face it, what we deal with and what our wives deal with is different. How men approach our faith and the struggles that men have is different from women. And so we need to address that. And so it's a program that we hope that will challenge and encourage you. And if you find the program entertaining, well, that's just a bonus. So pretty much kind of summing up the context of this is, you know, among the most serious crisis that society is facing today is the lack of true men. You know, women, children, the church, and the world, they're yearning for true men to step up and assist God in the mission of saving the world by saving souls. And so Band of Christian Brothers is a program that is meant to embolden men to grow in faith and virtue, and to encourage each other in this pursuit. You know, us men holding each other accountable, saying, hey, look, how you doing? You know, I'm struggling, or this is working, you know, and picking each other up. Because that's the biggest thing is, you know, when we get down, we need someone to pick us back up and get us back into the fight. So, you know, and the problem is, too, like, you know, men are just characterized in society today as, you know, pleasure-seeking, weak-willed, lazy. You know, that's put forth by the popular culture, right?
Everybody loves Raymond.
That's right. Or Homer Simpson, like you were saying. You're a big Simpsons fan.
I love Simpsons. Well, I did love Simpsons.
Yeah. But, you know, so instead we just embrace, you know, true Christian manhood, which embraces, you know, virtue, wisdom, strength, loyalty. You know, and lying at the heart of the lack of true men and manhood is a deeper crisis. And that's, you know, we've lost this sense of identity. You know, we men have lost this true identity and with our mission as men that God created us to be. So, you know, this is what we're hoping to do, you know, here is addressing that men's crisis within the church and meet those unique spiritual and fraternal needs that men have while empowering and challenging them in their faith. You know, and basically, you know, calling them to step up and realize their God-given role as priest, prophet, and king.
Well, I mentioned at the top of the show there that I joined the Catholic faith about 10 years ago. And since then, I've been at like 6 or 8 parishes, 6 different cities. I mean, I've just moved my family around because of my radio career. And in every place we've run into, and you know, called home for the time that we were in that city, another me has been very hard to find. Like, you know, I look around and I see one, maybe two other mid-30s husbands, fathers sitting in a pew. Like, there just aren't like-minded guys where you are. And so Dave introduced me to the Band of Christian Brothers, and I was like, okay, that's cool.
Yeah, well, that's the problem, right? I mean, you go to Mass on a Sunday and you could, you know, it's full of people, but by the end of it, you wouldn't even meet a soul, right? I mean, it's like a famous Catholic pastime. Who's the first one out to the parking lot, right? So, but I think what's lying at the heart of that is that we've lost our sense of identity, you know, the man that God has created us to be. And so when we do that, you know, there's a problem. And when we lose sight of our identity, our mission, that's when you see, you know, those lack of men in the pews, because oh, you know, it's a woman's issue. It doesn't bother me. So, yeah.
I wish I could say this was a new problem with this lost identity thing, but I think if we look back, we can go all the way back to Adam, because he kind of dropped the ball in two major ways. I mean, right there at the fall, he just kind of stood by and watched Eve be talked into tasting this fruit that he knew they weren't supposed to eat, but he just sat there. Yeah, you do your thing, dear. It's fine. And then when God asked him, you know, what was going on with that, he's like, oh, yeah, about that, God. Oh, well, that was the woman. And by the way, thanks for giving her to me, because look what she did to us. Or rather than step up and be like, yeah, about that, God. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah, well, that was definitely not a good way of modeling what it means to be a man. Not only did he throw his wife under the bus, he blames God for it.
Yeah. So, it wasn't me, I swear.
But, you know, but that's the thing, right? Adam lost his mission. His mission was to protect Eve, and he was silent. And that's why when you go to the Bible, you know, under the heading of that story, it's the sin of Adam, not the sin of Eve, because mm-hmm. It was Adam who failed. He was the one who dropped the ball. So going back, though, to, you know, men and how we're portrayed in society and things like that, you know, we're under attack, right? We're portrayed in the media, policies, you know, societal changes have literally castrated and stripped men out of their identity. I mean, Well, I mean, just turn on the TV, right? Or other forms of media where men are either portrayed as, you know, a machismo womanizer, you know, an effeminate male or a bumbling idiot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, where are the role models? Where is that role model of, you know, a balanced man? What does it truly mean to be a man? It's just not out there. You can't find it.
I just recently started a job working at a college, and I have all this training that I had to do. And one of them was a sexual violence prevention training. So it was like a 40-minute video of, you know, what it means to to safeguard against sexual violence. And I had a few of these facepalm moments as I'm watching this. And, okay. and one of them was kind of an being too sensitive to a pronoun use. So it's okay. fire person, not fire man. And I just kind of yeah. and I watched that, and then of course they went on, you know, it's a chairperson, not a chairman, it's a police person, police officer. And I'm sitting there going, okay, maybe we're being a touch too sensitive on this. And then there was this rather amusing video that kind of helped you determine whether or not you had consent or any of these things, and it's called "Don't Give Them Tea." And if we can pull that up and we can play it, that'd be cool. The one you can find on YouTube does have some swearing, but we'll edit that down. Right, Dave?
Anyway, yes.
So at the end of this 40 minutes worth of training, it ended with 5 questions. They were true and false, and you only had to get 3 right. And I like they were so easy. I mean, it was a situational thing. Like it was like, if they're asleep or if they're drunk, you know, and they can't consent, they can't tell you, yes, I would like to be with you in an intimate way, then you don't engage in that.
And this is for your work.
And this is for work.
Your work safety. And did you feel that it was targeting males specifically?
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. It's supposed to target men specifically, to engage men, to let them know that what is okay and what is not okay, you know, because of this this rape culture by which we live in. And, you know, there's value in it. There's merit to it. But I think we've just dumbed it down so much so that we're catering to that lowest common denominator mm-hmm. of the emasculated man, the man that doesn't know better.
No. Well, and that's the thing too, right? I mean, if you look at how men are being brought up nowadays, I mean, boys seem to be kept as boys, you know, instead of raised to become men. You know, men are kept in this state of prolonged adolescence, right? I mean, you know, there's that image of, you know, being up locked up with their, you know, man toys. And you know, you've probably heard the saying, you know, the acceptance of, well, boys will be boys, mm-hmm. you know. And it's just like, no, I mean, you know, why do we have these men who are physically men, but mentally they're still boys, and they have no desire to commit to, like, settling down to a family or live for others outside of themselves, right? And I think going back to what you're talking about in terms of the rape culture, you know, the whole thing of, you know, boys seek to take. They're all about themselves. They're self-centered, where men mm-hmm. seek to give, right? And it's the same difference between love and lust. Love seeks to give. Love seeks to take, right?
I think it really comes down to it's a systemic thing. You take the individual out of the church. You take away the guidance and the teachings of the church. And we still try to have everything, you know, that the church stands for. We want to have marriage. We want to have sex and relationships and all that kind of stuff, but we want to do it in our own right. And as a result, well, of course, one in two marriages fail. And because one in two marriages fail, we've got these boys essentially going, well, I'm just going to end up paying for a lawyer and all these fees and all this kind of stuff. I'm just going to keep all my stuff and not choose. I choose not to choose. And then you compound the issue with poor role models because you learn what you're taught. You learn yeah. what you see. And if, you know, your parental figure, your male figure in your life didn't exhibit these great deep yeah. virtues that generations ago we had, then you're not going to pick up on them.
Yeah. Well, I think you make a good point there. I was watching, I don't know if you've seen the video, Into the Breach. Great, great video about men stepping up in their faith. But one of the comments was they quoted a statistic, and it basically said by the age of 6, that boy would have spent more time in front of a television than they would spend in their entire life spending time with their father at the age of 6. So if you think about it, if you're putting your kids in front of the television, if your kids are, you know, going off to school, who are they forming, right? And we men need to step up. You know, we need to, you know, encourage and instill those masculine virtues like strength, courage, self-mastery, honor, sacrifice, and commitment. You know, and that's what we need to foster. But what we're seeing in society and in media, you know, there's almost like this atmosphere that strangles or distorts what healthy masculinity is. And in the process, we harm our women.
Dave, have you heard of what a lumber sexual is?
No, but is this appropriate?
Mildly appropriate. Okay. A lumbersexual essentially is a subculture of the human male. So like a metrosexual, you know, the guy who's very vogue, wears his tight clothes, maybe has a ponytail, the fashionista of the male world. Okay. A lumbersexual is not quite a hipster, but he likes wearing the plaid and maybe he grows a beard and, oh, I have a beard. I don't wear plaid though. Anyway, it's just throw that on the pile. That's going to further confuse our part of the species. And because we live in the internet age, the information's out there. If you're not learning it directly from your dad, your best friend, your brother, or whatever, you know, a stable male role model, they're going to be able to pick up it from anywhere. And there's mm-hmm. so much stuff out there that the actual real identity of a man and what a man is supposed to be and how to emulate that gets buried underneath all the white noise. It's kind of like how Trump won the election. You know, he said so much that you didn't know what he was saying because he just piled more information out there that his platform actually got buried. I know we're Canadian and all that stuff, but I mean, we're
the American politics though, it affects the world. But at the same time too, I mean, going on the tangent of Trump winning, I think part of it too, you know, you're just talking about, you know, confused gender ideology. And I think, you know, Trump, you know, whether you agree with his policies or not, the genius is that he was the spokesman for those who were just fed up with that political correctness, that PC world, and basically dealt with the issues. You know, people don't care about what washroom someone goes to. They care about their jobs and things like that. And so he spoke out against this political correctness, right? You know, how you're going, oh, the spokesperson, it's not a spokesman. It's like, okay, come on, you know what we're talking about. But I think the larger issue, going back to what you're saying, is with a strong role model, is we men need to step up. I mean, I think far too long have we abdicated our role, whether we've abdicated it to our the women in our lives and placed that burden on them, right? I came across this guy. I don't know if you've heard of Dale Partridge.
Can't they have?
No. Well, he's an entrepreneur, author. He's a Christian, not Catholic, but you know, all the good Christians become Catholic because we're the original. but anyways, he wrote on about the Women's March in D.C. that happened shortly after Trump. And he said this. I want to quote this. When men become boys, women become men. And when women become men, our ladies carry our weight at the cost of their femininity. In turn, our dormancy is robbing what makes them so beautiful and distinctive in the first place. God has given men and women different roles. However, he has not given us different value. Men, it is time for us to turn to the women in our life, to pick up our heart, to stand in our responsibilities, that's key, and to remind them of God's word on women, on the unborn, and on intrinsic value.
You know, I feel it's really important that we point out that this has nothing to do with testosterone. This has nothing to do with being a big burly man or whatever.
That's
you know?
Right, the machismo womanizer.
Yeah, we're looking to emulate Christ, not Chuck Norris. It's really easy for us to point out, regardless of where you stand on the scale or your position of faith, to say, well, that's not a man or that's not how a man acts. But defining man or manliness or masculinity, it's become more and more difficult to pin down, especially when you're not using the tools that come yep. from having a relationship with Christ and getting your keister to church.
Well, and that's regularly. The key thing you're saying in your relationship with Christ. And that's the thing. Christ is the perfect man par excellence that we need to be striving to be in, right? And, you know, we recently had Father Leo Richards at men's conference mm-hmm. last month. And, you know, he was saying, like, look, an idea is if you want to see what characteristics to be a man, follow Christ. So what you want to do is read the Gospels over, but with the specific intention of looking at the different characteristic traits of Christ. So, for instance, Christ walked, you know, miles in treacherous territory. You know, he was physically fit. He was strong. Mm-hmm. You know, Christ, you know, rebuked the Pharisees and things like that. You know, he had a holy boldness and love of truth. You know, and then also, too, like Christ, you know, he knew his mission. And he wouldn't waver, you know, to the point where, you know, Peter didn't want him to go to be crucified. And Christ says, you know, get behind me, Satan. You know, he knew what his mission was. And so that's what we men need to do is look to Christ and emulate him. And I think it's a good idea to, you know, especially during this time in Lent, open up our Bibles, read the Gospels, and see what characteristics Christ has and see how we can apply it then into our own lives.
Mm-hmm.
So now in this regard, in terms of, you know, we're talking about, you know, men and what it has to be. I mean, sadly, you know, you and I, we're both, you know, faithful Catholics and things like that. But, you know, in some cases, you know, the church doesn't help in this regard in terms of instilling, you know, true masculinity. You know, in some ways, they advance the effeminization through, you know, liturgical abuses, silly innovations of the mass. You know, I know they have good intentions, but it practically begs men to leave. You know, poor homilies. Oh. But also, too, like, you know, an effeminate organizational structure that just buries itself in the status quo of, you know, committees, policies, an aversion to bold action, right?
You're not wrong. I think we're on some thin ice out here, only because I love my church. I really do. I mean, I've...
I love it too, but I have to deal with it every day. So maybe I see it a little more. But.
Maybe you do. But I think maybe it's because I'm a Catholic convert. You know, this is not necessarily just something that is unique to the Catholic Church. I think it affects all churches. I actually worked with a guy. He was my friend. He was my mentor. He was my boss. It was a kind of a bizarre relationship. But one day he comes to me and he goes, you know what? The church is just so effeminate. You know, I want to make a church that's more manly. You know, I want to make it a rock concert. And of course, that's the Protestant solution. You see something wrong with your church, so what do? You make a new church. You know, and I can go back in time a little bit and speak about my own dad. You know, when he was around my age, he was heavily involved in the church. He was a part of his church council. And when things weren't going in the direction that he really thought they should be going, he quit. And he didn't just quit council. He, you know, washed his hands of the whole works.
Wow.
It's been years since my dad's gone to church with my mom and with us as a family. As a regular thing, not just a, you know, a creaster.
Yeah. Christmas and Easter, just for those who are wondering. Anyways, we are approaching just after 20 minutes. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back right at you.
You've been listening to Band of Christian Brothers with David Gilbert on Radio Maria Canada.
Just blood is pouring from my wounds.
We now return to Band of Christian Brothers on Radio Maria Canada with your host, David Gilbert.
All right, and we're back. So if you want to join in the conversation or learn a little bit more about Band of Christian Brothers or even Serbian Ministries, you can go to bandofchristianbrothers.com or find us on Facebook. Also, too, you could follow me on Twitter, David Gilbert, or at Gilbert Speaker. And Josh, how can we find you on Twitter?
I'm on the Twitter as well. It is Brother Redbeard.
Very nice.
Yeah. I thought it was good.
It's very clever. You actually look like the emoji or whatever it's called.
You know, the icon that I set up there? Yeah, I know. That was the whole point.
That was very good. So, and also, too, I mean, talking about these men issues, men's stuff, Band of Christian Brothers is also a men's fraternity. So if you go on the website, you could find out if there's a men's group near you, or if you'd like to start a men's group, feel free to contact us. We'll definitely help you out in that regard.
I was actually noticing that you guys have an affiliate program, basically for guys like me who might not have a local group.
Yeah, you could still join the Brotherhood, but if there's no local group, you can still be a part of it, still adhere to the code of honor, which we'll probably get into in later episodes. So but yeah, so if you want to join that way, you can, and you know, this movement is not just parish based it's growing, it's expanding. It's only been over a year, but we've already have four men's groups and counting. So the Lord is good and the Holy Spirit is definitely leading, because you know what, there is a hunger out there.
Absolutely.
There's a hunger, and that's what brings me to this point. You know, there's a lack of brotherhood in the Catholic community, which is, you know, dominated by parish and diocesan offices, you know, prayer groups, Bible studies, leaders of parish ministries and other programs. You know, they're predominantly led by women, right? And so when a man comes there and sees, like, what kind of message are we sending, right? It's sending, you know, you're not welcome. Or if it's not the you're not welcome, you know, our general thing is, well, hey, it's being taken care of, so I don't need to worry about it. And so, you know, the men don't step up. So,
you know what? This is the one thing that kind of annoys me about the Catholic Church. Oh, breaking the case.
There you go.
This is kind of the one thing that kind of annoys me about the Catholic Church is that our priests are expected to be everything to us. And that's great. I mean, God bless them. Love them. We need to pray for them more often. But we also tack on this administrative responsibility. And I don't think they spend that much time in seminary going over things like parish budgets and fundraise.
Yeah, I don't even think they get into it.
A priest gets, you know, dropped into a church and, like, here's your flock, lead them. And he gets buried in paperwork and all these types of stuff. And he doesn't get the time he needs to really, like, scope out the new young guy and be like, hey, welcome. And here's a group of men that you might want to connect with that may or may not be part of the Knights of Columbus. And my other thing was theology on tap nights when they don't go to a pub.
What do you mean?
Well,
like
it's a theology on tap.
So they call it theology of the tap, but there's no tap.
But there are no taps. I mean, there are water taps. I can get water at home.
Yeah, that's... And that's false advertising.
A little bit, yeah. And and I love the Knights of Columbus. I'm a member. But man, they're old and so boring.
Well, God bless the Knights. They do
exactly.
They do a lot of good things.
They
right?
do a lot of good things, and I think it has more to say about me than anything.
Well, I think too, though. I mean, it might be a generational thing, but it also too might be a personality thing, right? I mean, you know, you see the Knights doing a lot of charitable work and things like that. But it might not be, you know, someone's cup of tea to sell, you know, Christmas raffle tickets or Christmas cookies.
I agree.
So, but that's the thing, right? We feel isolated in this regard, right? And the thing that bothers me is that, you know, brotherhood is the title most suitably used for us Christian men, you know, because we're baptized into the family of God. So by our baptism into the family of God, then we're all brothers. You know, and this must be the identity that we Christian men see in ourselves and in each other, right? But yet we don't even know each other's, you know, names, or we're unable to meet other people on a given Sunday. Since, like I was saying before, you know, it just seems like, you know, many Catholics, you know, can't wait to get back into their cars after Mass, right? So you really have to make a concerted effort to find those males, right?
Well, you know, your other option there is to talk to the weirdos who stay late after Mass to talk to the other weirdos who stay late after Mass. Honestly, I don't know what the rush is. I mean, by the time I've collected my kids and all the stuff they've brought to church with us, the lot's empty. Like, it's a ghost town by the time I get out there. And I'm like, you know, I'm kind of trying to get out the door quickly myself because usually I'm hungry. But this is really
those
where...
Eucharistic fasts.
It's hard. So hungry. But this is where the Protestants have got us beat, almost hands down. I mean, they're sitting through 90-plus minute services and worship, and then they have fellowship afterwards, and there's coffee, and there's baked goods. There's something about church coffee. Like, you can't even get that kind of stuff at Tim Hortons. Like, this stuff is sweet. But I remember going to church in high school, and we'd leave at like 10:30 for church, and it would start at 11, and we lived like 2 minutes down the street. It was about finding that parking space and walking six blocks. But then we wouldn't get home till 2. Wow. And my last parish, well, they tried. They did. They found people to go to the parish center and set up, make coffee and bring in baked goods and all this kind of stuff. But the problem is the parish center was on the other side of the parking lot. And when that wind comes whistling down out of the north at about 1,000 miles an hour, that parking lot might as well be 17 football fields long. Like, people just aren't going.
Not to mention the massive frostbite.
Well, there's that too. And there are just, there are so many other options available now on Sunday. Like, you know, you get out of church and, well, you could go shopping, or there's the football game. There's a nap. Yeah. You could have a nap. There are just these things that make it easier to busy yourself on Sunday.
Well, I remember when I was playing competitive hockey as a teenager and kid, you know, a lot of the tournaments would go into Sunday, right? And so you'd be, you know, missing it because of sports as well. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, but that's the thing, right? I mean, like you were saying before, you know, priests didn't come there to be administrators. They were there to be pastors. And so, but, you know, if our priests are so caught up, we got to start making that effort, though. The hard thing is, you know, how do you grab them in, right? I mean, it's a tough situation. So you men out there who are listening right now, don't leave right away. Give proper thanksgiving after Mass. You know, just even if it's just a minute, you know, thank you, Lord, for this Eucharist. You know, I'd like to continue my thanksgiving and my communion with you since you just received, you know, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. But then also, too, you're making yourself available, right? And that's the other thing, I think, is, you know, we've lost that sense of sacredness, right? And so, you know, you're trying to be out there and people are talking in the church. And it's like, no, go out into the parking lot, go out into the narthex and talk. And instead of, you know, because people are such in a rush, you know, God bless, you know, Father so-and-so. He's trying to build community, but he's trying to build community in the Mass. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times it's a failure. Oh. And so, but, you know.
It's weird.
It is weird.
It's weird.
Yeah.
That's something I've noticed. We just moved to town, and we haven't found a home parish yet. But for the first time in 10 years, right at the beginning of Mass, you know, priest welcomes us, and then he asks, "Hey, let's take a moment and greet your neighbor." It's a very, very Protestant thing. I remember this from back in the day. And greet your neighbor. I had some total stranger lean over the pew last Sunday and ask me how she could pray for me. And I'm just like, I didn't know I was supposed to do homework. You're a total stranger. You know, there's, you know, in the back of my head, I always come up with a funny joke. So in the back of my head was spinning, and it was like
a smart aleck comment?
Oh, absolutely. It was like, my wife and I are having troubles. If you could pray for us, that'd be great, even though we're not.
Yeah. Our marriage is on the rocks.
Yeah. It's been a rough couple of days. No, but it was just like, we just moved here, and we haven't found a parish. You can pray for that. But then, because I was so flabbergasted by this genuine concern and warmth that came from this parish, but we are so new that this concept is so new to us because that's not something we'd experienced in our past diocese, that we're like, what's going on? Why are these people so weird?
Well, the thing is, I think the intention is good. The problem is just when and where it happens is inappropriate, right? It's not during Mass that you should be doing that. You should be building up community outside of the Mass. The Mass is not about us. It's about our Lord, right? But that's why, you know, stay in the parking lot. Invite that person next to you in the pew to go out for brunch or whatever. Don't, you know, so anyways, my little off-rant.
That's fine, but I think it's like when they do the announcements, right? Like, you know, either at the beginning of Mass or right at the end of Mass, you're asked to sit for a few announcements, and you're like, I thought we were getting out of here. But the priest has got you. He's got your attention already, so...
And he knows you're not going to read the bulletin.
Well, and there's that, too. So he's highlighting stuff because you're probably not going to read the bulletin. And so they're taking advantage of the fact that you're all there already. You're already listening. So, hey, create community, guys. Shake each other's hands. It's for social awkwardness, and it's a personal favorite of mine.
Yes, mine too. All right, I think we should... Let's rewind a little bit. You know, at the beginning of the show, we were talking about, you know, what is our identity, right? And we are sons of God, baptized into the family of God. We are sons of God. So, you know, we are disciples of Jesus Christ, who is perfect priest, prophet, and king. And like I said, you know, we're baptized in him. And so we possess those same offices. So I'd like to go through those with you in a little bit. Are you ready for me?
Is this like rapid fire? You're not going to ask me a question, are you?
It's not going to be rapid fire. We got some
lightning
time.
Round.
We got some time. We're only 33 minutes in, so we got some time. We could expand on these puppies.
Do you need to empty out your inbox, Dave?
No.
Not yet? Okay.
No.
All right, let's go then.
We're not that popular yet, so aside from our wives calling because we texted them to call us, I don't think that's going to happen.
All right.
So like I said, the offices that we have based on our baptism are priest, prophet, and king, right? So what is a priest? A priest offers sacrifice. So there's the baptismal priesthood by which we all share in Christ's priesthood, which enables us to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God and to join ourselves to the offering of Christ in the Eucharist by the ordained priest. Go ahead.
I'm just curious to know, what does that actually look like in the home? Because when I think of priest, I think of the guy in his cassock and his collar, and he's offering those sacrifices. So when you say your job is to offer sacrifices at home, what does that look like?
Ugh, it's painful. It's the little daily sacrifices, right? It's about laying down your life for your family, right? So it could be as simple as, you know, I came home from a long day at work. I just want to put up my feet, crack open a beer, and watch my favorite TV show.
Don't you work from home? Are you? Oh no, this is just an example.
An example, but I do work from home. It's a blessing and a curse.
No, it's a blessing and a cross.
A cross.
A difference.
That's right. Sorry. More of a blessing. But instead of doing that, I know that my wife needs help with whatever's going on in the house. Or that time could be, if you have children, spent time with your kids because they haven't seen you all day, which would also give your wife a break.
Mm.
But, you know, you don't want to do it, but you're laying down your interests, your pleasure, in order to fulfill and live for others.
You know, there's a personality type. My brother, myself, we're very much this personality type. When we get home, we need just a little bit of time to decompress.
Yeah.
Like, I've had a day, and I need to change gears from work mode dad to home mode dad. And what I've learned most recently is that the work actually starts once you get home from the office or once you get home from your job, because your job is just fundraising for the mission of being husband and father. It's our jobs as dads, it's our jobs as husbands to, you know, lead Jesus and Mary into the family, to bring them to the family.
That's an excellent point, because, you know, our home is the domestic church. That's where our kids are first introduced to Christ. That's where they encounter Christ. And, you know, I forgot what I was going to say. It was a really good point.
That was a really good point. You were there.
So
that's fine.
Good. Okay. It was so good.
You know, I think it's like you were saying, it's the little things. So like maybe you're just starting out. Okay. I'm supposed to be the priest in my home. Okay. What does this look like? You know what? It's a little thing. You can start with leading your family in grace. I mean, we started that, my wife and I, leading the family, and then we kind of devolved into getting the kids involved. Mm-hmm. So we say a grace that the kids kind of sing, and then we echo, and then they sing some more. And, you know, it's cute, and it's great, and what have you, but we're getting them involved. And then you bring that prayer to bedtime. You know, in our house, very early on when we started this, our girls were focusing on a lot of negativity that happened in their day. You know, maybe they got pushed at the playground, or, you know, a little boy stuck gum in their hair, or, you know, little things like that.
Yeah.
And we just felt like, you know what? We really need to focus on our blessings. We really need to focus on the good things that happen today. So we started this Favorite Things. So it's like we go around the room and we talk about what was our favorite thing that happened today. And we're grateful for food in my family. You'd think we were Italian the way we're so grateful for food, but we're not. We're pretty white bread.
Manja cake.
Yeah.
I remember what I was going to say, but going on your point first, still, Josh, I mean, that's a beautiful witness in things that you do with your kids. What I do at my home is make an effort to bless my kids in the morning and when they go to bed. So, you know, you kind of start off your day with a blessing, you finish the day with a blessing. But then also, too, just trying to encourage your kids to join in, you know, prayers, whether that's, you know, for mealtime or, you know, bedtime, try to include, you know, some kind of Bible story or life of the saints and, you know, get them really involved. Now, one thing that you mentioned before, and I remember my point now, was, you know, about, you know, our work and our job and how really your job starts when you get home. What your day job is pretty much to pay for that. And that's very important, is to remember our vocation, right? Our vocation, we're not defined by our job or job title or the paycheck that we bring home.
It's such a hard leap to go from that to something else.
It
is. Just speaking from experience.
It is, because that's how we were brought up. I mean, how you're brought up, your parents want you to get this education, get this kind of job, and so you're preparing for that your whole entire life. But really, you know, how we're going to be judged is not by the size of our paycheck or the job title we have. It's
thank goodness, because I work
done
in radio.
Well, yeah. Well, you still make more than I do. But anyways.
God bless you, brother.
Yeah. It has been only by God's blessing that we've been able to continue. But anyways, I digress. What it is, though, is that it's the amount of radiance that we have from our wife. What kind of respect and what kind of woman is our wife? Because, you know, as St. Paul says, you know, husbands love your wives as, you know, Christ loved the church, you know, and he laid
such
down...
Such a tall order. I love it.
I know. But, and that's the thing. I mean, we are there to lay down our life for the salvation of our wife. And we have to do everything that we can to make her as unblemished as the church is unblemished by Christ. And so that's a tall order. But that is how we should be judged, is by our wives and also, you know, our families in general. But we should never forget our two primary vocations. First one, we are sons of God. And if you're a woman listening, you're a daughter of God. And, you know, we're married, and that's our path as married men. That's our ticket to salvation, is through our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we will go to another break, and we will be with you shortly.
You've been listening to Band of Christian Brothers with David Gilbert on Radio Maria Canada.
I'm kneeling in your presence, Lord. I feel your love, and I know you're here. I'm praying all the world could see. Eucharist is what we need. I'm waking to a brand new day. Praying I won't go astray. I'm longing for your precious blood as I rise to start this day. My soul's been longing. Heart's been searching for your precious body. Love pour over me, my soul's been longing. Heart's been searching for your precious body. Love pour over me. I know your love is so complete. You're dying just to be with me and to satisfy your thirst for us. Give your body and your blood. Now I'm walking home in pouring rain, standing in a sea of pain. There's a broken soul outside my door. Can I be Eucharist for her? My soul's been longing, heart's been searching for your precious body. Love.
We now return to Band of Christian Brothers on Radio Maria Canada with your host, David Gilbert.
Welcome back to the Band of Christian Brothers show. Dave, we were just talking about a priest in our home. We're also supposed to be prophet. We're also supposed to be, what's that last one?
King.
King. Okay. Well, break it down for me. What does it mean to be a prophet?
Okay. Well, a prophet teaches. So as prophets, we're called to proclaim the gospel to our families, friends, coworkers, and those we encounter by our words and actions.
I've become a rather fond of St. Jose Maria's approach to this. It's all about the faithfulness in the little things. They can be, and these are all huge struggles for me, going to bed early so that you have enough time to get up. You know, you've gotten that sleep so you can actually get up without hitting the snooze button like 13 times. And then you can get out the door on time so that you can get to work on time. Like this seems so small, but for me, like, I love sleep. I enjoy snuggling my bride first thing in the morning when that alarm goes off. Like, that's like, I set that alarm 10 minutes early so that I at least have some time to give her a hug before my feet hit the floor. And then it comes to the doing your job well. So once you've actually walked through the door at your gig, this is how you're fundraising for your family, doing what you're being tasked to do to the absolute best of your ability. And you sit there and go, oh, perfectionism. I'm not a perfectionist or whatever. No. Do the absolute best that you can do.
And in so doing, you're giving glory to God.
And that's exactly it. And this is what becomes attractive to other people, because, you know, you're not there working for the man. I mean, you're there, but you see the man as... You see, it's God you're working for. It's Christ you're working for. It's that temple of the Holy Spirit that you're giving your all to for those 7, 8, 9 hours that you're in the office. Like, that, this is, I'm in work mode, and you get my absolute best. I don't care if I'm having a bad day, and I'm grumpy, and I'm tired, and my back hurts, or whatever it is. Like, I'm focusing on doing this menial task, or this small thing, or this report, or whatever it is. You get it. Like, I'm doing it well.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, and that's the thing too, right? I mean, people are drawn to excellence. People are drawn to people who are holy. I mean, yes, in our society, people, you know, if you look on television, it doesn't seem like people are drawn to holy people. But if you see, you know, look at King Herod.
Are you kidding me? People aren't drawn. Everybody loves Pope Francis.
Does everybody?
Maybe not the really weird pseudo Catholics that don't think Pope Francis is the man. Okay, personally, I love Pope Francis, and
but in the media, you're not looking at, you know, you're not seeing those positive role models, right?
Okay, that's fair.
Okay, but people are drawn to holy men. People are drawn to people who, you know, strive for excellence because they see something in the divine there, right? And we're naturally drawn to it. I mean, even in the Bible, King Herod was living an adulterous relationship, but he couldn't stop listening to St. John the Baptist, right? And so, you know, but also too, I mean, how we give witness and how to proclaim the gospel, because, you know, you can proclaim the gospel in two ways, through words and through actions, right? And both are really difficult. Through actions is, like you were saying, you're having a bad day, but you still got to give it your 100%. But with our words, that's where it gets a little bit trickier, right? And that's why we need to study the faith.
I've been trying something new and mostly failing at this, and it goes to words. I'm actually trying to be quiet. I'm not trying to say anything because I'm a former DJ. I'm very opinionated. I'm a very confident, smart guy, but I know I can come off as being, you know, arrogant and a know-it-all, and I'm just such a complainer. So for me, being quiet, I guess it's a bit of a sacrifice. It's a bit of suffering, but it really helps, or it is hopefully going to be able to help me to, you know, focus more on that witness in action, and you know, being that character that listens. You know, it takes in all the information, takes in the story that somebody's trying to tell me, you know, because they're having a bad day and you're listening. And that act of listening and caring and empathizing, that speaks to people more than like reaching across the table and be like, it will be okay. Jesus loves you, which he does. But sometimes that comes as a cop out to some people.
Well, and that's where prudence comes involved, right? There's prudence, but also too, there's wisdom in what you're saying, Josh, because... You know, you have to choose your battles, but also too, we have to figure out when is the right time to speak, right? Speaking for the sake of speaking is not going to help anyone, right? And we have to also be mindful when we do share the gospel that we're doing it for the Lord and not for our own vanity's sake. And so that takes a lot of wisdom, a lot of prudence, but also too, a lot of patience, because we, we need the Holy Spirit to guide us, and sometimes it's not what we want to do, what we're expecting. And so, yeah, kudos to you, man.
Like I said, it's not going well.
Well,
such a loud mouth.
Well, that's the thing. We all have our vices and things to work at. I mean, if it was easy, then everyone would be saints.
Well, what helps is the fact that I'm a bit of an introvert, and I just started a new job, and the environment by which I work in is like 7,000 times larger than the last place I worked at, where I was basically a big fish in a little pond. And now I'm a minnow in an ocean. Mm. So like, it's easy to be quiet and I don't remember your name. It's nice to meet you again. They remember my name. Some people are better gifted at that.
Yeah. And as those relationships develop, you know, you find those opportunities to share with the, share the gospel. And it doesn't always have to be as direct. Sometimes it does, but a lot of the times it's, you know, more softer form.
Exactly. Okay. Dave, tell me about being king. Because I...
King is my way or the highway, baby.
I thought I was just king of the castle. And well, I defer to the queen.
Well, that's the thing. I think before diving into this, we always think, you know, it's my way, especially with us men, right? We like to be in control. But that's not what Christ is calling us to. That's not the example that Christ has set for us. So what kind of king was Christ? He was a servant king. So a king serves. You know, as kings, we imitate Christ, who is the perfect king that loves all of his subjects, even to the point of dying for them. The kingship of Christ is one of service. In union with him, we perform works of mercy and charity. We serve others as Christ does. Sometimes the service requires that what we would consider ruling or reigning, which, you know, is setting down laws and disciplines for ourselves and others' well-being, for those whom God has entrusted to us. And that's the tough part, because I think, you know, no one wants to be the heavy hand, but you know what? Sometimes we need those parameters in order for us to, you know, keep on the straight and narrow.
I kind of like being the heavy hand. I'm okay with being the bad guy at home, you know. Mm. If it comes to enforcing, you know, a rule that mom has set out, I've got no problem going with that. You know, people get bent out of shape when they, what is it, that First Corinthians verse?
Oh, yes, about submit to your wives.
You know, women submit to your husbands. They get so bent out of shape over that one statement, they miss the 12 paragraphs that come after about how husbands are supposed to love the church.
Yeah, I'd rather submit than have to die.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one because, like, it's a tall order.
Yep. No, it's definitely tall. And that's the thing, right, is I was reading this book. I don't know if you've read it. It's The Three Marks of Manhood.
Nope, haven't
and
read it.
Basically, one of the chapters was, you know, man and woman, he created them in his own image, right? Mm-hmm. And so...
equal parts.
Well, the two become one flesh and we're, you know, we're equal but different. And the man is supposed to represent God's justice, where the woman or the wife should be, you know... God's mercy, right? And it was kind of interesting. So when you were saying, you know, I have no problem laying down the rule of the mother, you know, that comes with the territory, and it's not always easy. But we always must do that in love and true justice, not because, you know, we're angry and we're flaring up here.
I had a buddy of mine that when he proposed to his girlfriend, mm-hmm. He got down on his knee and he washed her feet.
Okay.
Like, this is how much I love you. That act of washing someone's feet, and that in our marriage, that is what we're going to do. I'm going to love you and I'm going to serve you, and this is how I'm going to demonstrate that right off the hop.
That's beautiful.
I thought so. I kind of cried.
Yeah, that's the thing. When I got engaged, I was one of the first in my group of friends, and I'm glad because after hearing all the crazy romantic stuff they did, I'm like, oh, God, I'm glad I beat them to it.
I was just going to say, I think I beat you to it, too.
Yes.
And mine wasn't terribly elaborate.
Neither was mine. But thank God she said yes. All right. So, just to kind of wrap up, because we're wrapping up at the end of this show soon. You know, again, Jesus Christ is the perfect man par excellence that we need to emulate and strive to be. Right. So before we end, what I want to talk about is, you know, what does it mean to be a man of God and healthy masculinity? Right. You know, we Christian men, we're longing to be challenged into love, to conquer sin and the evil one. I think that's an amazing mission. And I think the more that we understand this as that mission, the more men will step up, because what better mission there is than to do battle with your sins, the devil, and to save the lives of your loved ones? I mean, I can't think of a more awesome mission myself.
I think we're predisposed to have that superhero complex. We want to be the hero, and this is how we do it. It's not jumping in there wearing spandex and a cape, although I look fantastic in spandex.
I don't want to even think about that.
Yeah, you're a little grossed out right now. You're welcome. But I mean, it all comes down to, like, you know, keep score and go to confession. Like,
yep.
Regularly. Dave, I need to go to confession. It's been a while for me.
You should go. I mean, I have a rule. I usually go every other week or once a month, but you definitely should go as soon as you commit a mortal sin.
My excuse right now is we're new and I haven't found a parish, so therefore I haven't found a priest to confess to yet, but I'm making excuses.
Doesn't matter. It's the same thing, man. Just do it. So we may need to step up. We need to assume our role, and we need to strive to be Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, sure. I got scared at that point. I got scared when I was like, I'm not
You're
running for Jesus.
House.
Dave, I see by the clock that we're pretty much out of time for this, so maybe we should wrap things up, tease next week. And
Well, this was fun. I mean, I can't believe the time went by already. So with an hour, geez.
I'm not surprised.
You're the pro on this. So, but anyways, so next week, tune in to us because, you know, we're going to be focusing on, you know, our mission and purpose in life, right? And that's very important because our ultimate destiny is heaven, and we need to stay focused on that final goal. And so, you know, when we lose sight of our mission and purpose, that's when we lose sight of our ultimate destiny, which is heaven. So that's what we're going to be talking about next week.
All right. Bless your brother. If you need more information on Band of Christian Brothers, bandofchristianbrothers.com.
Yep,
Dave, you're going to set up a blog for this thing, right?
Go to bandofchristianbrothers.com. There's a blog already on there, although we need more content on there. So.
And then you'll have some links on how to find you on the Facebook, the Twitter, the Instagram, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the Facebook, the Twitter, Instagram. So follow us on there. Follow us on Facebook, Band of Christian Brothers on Facebook. And we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Remember, iron sharpens iron. Become the man God created you to be. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Band of Christian Brothers with David Gilbert on Radio Maria Canada.